You're sitting here kind of close to the adventure playground, and every year I used to get my chestnuts from here before they lopped down the massive beautiful tree, so I have to go somewhere else now and find them. Yeah, this is an important part of my my research itself, so photographing the woods and using images to create a space for contemplation and taking other people on my journey for a bit of stillness and silence. I don't think there's any kind of best time to photograph. I think every season has its kind of particular sort of characteristics. So if you're really after the forms and lines of the trees, obviously you don't want the leaves. If you're going for colour, if you want movement and the leaves kind of swaying, then you have to, obviously have to wait for them to appear. It's kind of quite interesting what I found out, which is totally obvious, but I had to figure it out myself through the light meter, is that in the winter time, you can, you know, it's you've got a shorter exposure time than in the winter, in the summer, because in the summer you've got all the leaves covering the light. So, you know, it's really obvious, but I never really thought about it before. I actually had to amend my exposure time. I wouldn't say it's my favourite, but one of the ones that sort of is in the back of my mind, obviously now you're asking me, is one where I photographed leaves of actually the dog leaf kind of bush from underneath, and the light shining on top of it, but there sat some flies sat on it, so the flies were appearing like little silhouettes on the other side, sort of like negative spaces, like black little things. And it's just, yeah, it was just beautiful, just a moment that I happened to be there and had the camera up, so it's just lucky. Yes, I do make slow gin, absolutely. I kind of, before the whole gin kind of mania started, my grandfather, he always made his own schnapps. So I was a little bit, I guess, preconditioned to this kind of malarkey. And I found some really nice sort of bushes where it's very good to harvest slow berries. So I do it, and I tend to use really good gin rather than just the cheap gin. So I always think kind of you've only got three ingredients there, and they need to be good ones. It's like a good meal, isn't it? You need to, if it's simple, keep the ingredients good and you've got a good meal. Well, the berries normally get collected sort of October time. If there hasn't been a frost, you prick them so that the skin bursts and releases the juice when it goes into the gin and gets turned, so that it actually kind of moves. So, and then you have to be patient. Obviously, it needs at least sort of until Christmas or kind of New Year for it to be then opened. But sometimes you can't help yourself, can you?
The Great Art of Foraging. Right. We're just going to cross over to the fence that looks out across the wide open view. Come on, it's always worth it. You used to be able to hear the roar from Rolls-Royce in Hucknall on a Friday when they were testing the engines and the wind was in the right direction. But not anymore. It's a quiet landscape. Although one time I was here, there was a brass band playing in the glade, and that felt right. Because that's what this landscape is to me. It's where nature and industry meet. It's in between. Even if the industry side of things is increasingly receding from view. And I know it's for the best. That the landscape returns to what it was before it was carved open and gouged into for the coal that lay down below. But for me, the two things still live together. They're still joined up. And the winding house that you can see down there, if you look carefully, is as natural to me as an oak or a sycamore. Something that absolutely belongs here, that's grown out of the land and that nourishes it somehow. Nourishes the sense of it. The way it connects to me is a part of me. Plugs me into it all, if you see what I mean. Because it's in the industry, in that industry, where the culture grew, the sense of togetherness and community that just made the beauty of the surroundings all the more magnificent somehow. But there aren't many people down there now that have that connection, that climb down into the earth, that understand that sense of comradeship that flowed out into the streets, however claustrophobic that could sometimes be, that understand the way the two worlds sat side by side. I was up here with Ian West the other day, who used to chef at the welfare. He was telling me about all the work that had been done to try and keep it alive and to renovate it, with people donating furniture and helping to clear the brambles in the beer garden. But how there's a stigma to the place because of what it was and how it looks. That those who are moving in want a village spirit, a village community, but don't understand the culture of a mining heritage. It's caught in between. Between those that have lived here since year dib-dob, as he puts it, and those that have moved into the new houses that keep being built. Between those that need the help the welfare's been given with its free meals, and those who would like somewhere picturesque to eat, rather than the building that's still got ceiling tiles, a carpet from 1965, and a plaque for Bill Scott who came in every night for a pint. We're halfway from where we used to be and where we want to be. That's what he told me. He learnt his trade cooking in the Navy and ended up being invited by an admiral to cook for the Queen Mother. A Bestwood boy showing off his culinary prowess in the heart of the British establishment, only to be told, as he looked proudly on the plate he had produced, that as she'd only recently choked on a fish bone, he needed to liquidise the whole bloody thing. Right, let's move on. You'll have to pay attention here, as we're beginning to get more into the heart of things, where it's easier to get lost. So, head up to the left, and you'll soon see the path fork in two. You'll want to take the left one. You should pass a bench on your left and then see a sign on the right that says Winding House, 15 minutes. Go down there. It's downhill and it's quite steep. And on the left-hand side, just over halfway down, you'll see a bench. Sit yourself there, facing away from the path and towards the trees.